Whether you operate one forklift or thousands, one location or hundreds, the new My Toyota customer portal can help you optimize your operation and material handling equipment. This one-stop, free-to-use platform is designed to help you take control of your information and make smarter decisions, all at the touch of a button. Register and access your data today at my.toyotaforklift.com. That's my.toyotaforklift.com.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, bringing you a new episode today. And on today's episode, I am going to be joined by Reed Egger. He is the head of growth operations and go-to-market at Traba. And Traba is solving a lot of your staffing issues and bringing tech to that. Also bringing a lot of robust vetting processes, ensuring that you're getting not only a great tech solution to address some of your staffing issues, but also ensuring that you're getting the right staff in place, which is a huge, huge thing that is very important for the warehousing world. So we're going to dig a little into Traba, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the staffing challenges out there in the market right now, and a little bit about their tech as well with Reed. So Reed, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kevin? And thanks for having me on. Actually, I do steal some ideas from your podcast here and there for building into product features that we're trying to roll out and how our operations team operates effectively and provides as high value as possible.
All right. Well, definitely appreciate that. Happy to have you on here, and always happy to get a listener on as a guest too. I think that's always fantastic. And happy that you guys are getting value out of it too. So we're going to talk a little bit about Traba here. So why don't you tell us, I guess, kind of brief overview, Traba, what is it? What is it that you guys do?
Yeah, definitely. So Traba started out, one of our founders, he actually started out working at McMaster Car. And so they heavily utilized staffing in that space. And, you know, he saw the problem that was kind of going on with the current process when it comes to requesting labor, getting the right labor in the door. And that was something that wasn't being addressed by existing staffing or even the tech-enabled platforms that are out there currently today. So what we do is we are a tech-enabled labor marketplace that specifically focuses on serving light industrial clients and light industrial workers, with an emphasis on both sides of that, because you cannot provide a good service to light industrial clients if you aren't also focusing on that worker supply, right? So our foundation is rooted in building products that help workers and businesses get to their highest level of productivity that you can get to when utilizing temporary labor. We also provide a level of operational support that is not seen in staffing in general, or to my knowledge, has been seen historically. And another big component of that is we really hold ourselves accountable in these processes. If you go around any of our offices, there are dashboards across all of the offices, all the rooms that are showing fill rate, magic shift hit rate, which is another metric we have, because fill rate is a good rate and all. But when it comes down to it, what really matters is you filled the shift, but then on top of that, you had a good match. The worker wasn't DNR'd. They didn't walk off. They didn't abandon, things like that. So everyone can hold themselves accountable to a fill rate. But if you really want to hold yourself accountable to performance and effectively helping that business, then it's all of those other factors that I mentioned that go into it. But that is a summary of what we do.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. Did you say it's a match fill rate?
Or match shift hit rate. It's something we came up with a long time ago. So essentially, we originally started out the business with saying fill rate, right? Magic number, make sure you hit 100%, which was an interesting place to start, because then we got very good at filling to 100%. Then we said, what is the next thing that we can hold ourselves to make it harder? Okay, the worker does not get DNR. All right, then we figured that part out. Obviously, there are still outliers when that happens. And the next was the worker like continued, was requested for the next shift, which is clearly a positive indicator. Yeah. There was other factors like they clocked in on time. They arrived on time, because we all know losing those 5 minutes at the start of, let's say, a fulfillment center shift is crucial, right? You want them to show up a few early so that they don't have to go through that new level of onboarding. They're actually there when the truck arrives, drop off the items, things like that. So now we've each probably quarter that goes by, we add another factor into that magic shift hit rate, which then results in us holding ourselves to a higher standard, creating more work for us, but also a better product when it comes to delivering for clients.
Yeah. Very interesting. And I think that's such a great thing. And it's very kind of reminiscent of almost like a perfect order type of metric for like an operation fulfillment process. Like you have the fill rate, like you mentioned, but you know, was that order also accurate? Was it also delivered on time? You know, all those different types of things, which kind of reminiscent of that. So very interesting that you guys have come up with that and going the extra mile by driving to achieve success in that metric. So let's talk a little bit about, because you guys are focused on kind of the temporary staffing space, which is, some may say, a necessary evil in the warehousing space, right? In some cases. And you know, there's the traditional temporary staffing agencies that I'm sure a lot of listeners have worked with. I know I've worked with several in my career, but tell us a little bit about, because you guys are taking this kind of tech focused approach to it, but the traditional staffing agency doesn't necessarily have much of a tech approach in my experience. But tell us, what do you think is kind of broken about kind of that traditional temporary staffing agency model?
Yeah, definitely. So there's, I have a bit of a list here, and they're all things that we're still working through.
Okay.
To overcome and get better at too, but to start, it's the fill rates, right? I'd say we typically, I personally will say that our competitors are averaging around 80% fill rates. There are some that are doing 50% fill rates, some that are going all the way into the high 90s. But most of the time, what we see as a standard is in the 80s, especially when you get to higher volume shifts. That right there, the lack of differentiation between filling a role, just fill rate, and actually matching the correct worker to the role. That is something that is not heavily focused on at the moment. You know, it's more of getting the top several resumes on your stack in the door and making sure that you start billing. So that's another one. Customer and worker support. Yes, you have your account managers, you have recruiters reaching out to you. They're typically communicating with you 8 to 5, unless that agency is providing an on-site lead during the shifts, then obviously you have that support. With our team, we have several layers of support that are covering that, which we'll get into further. But if you have an issue for your second or third shift, you're likely not getting that support until the next day, or if it's a Friday or Saturday, till that following Monday. If you DNR someone Friday at 9 p.m. or send that request, you more than likely will have that worker show up on Monday, and then you have to deal with the conversation again. Limited oversight into the day of for the shift. Are these workers actually coming? Are they going to arrive on time? Are they the same workers we requested, the same workers from Friday when we had another day where we had a spike in orders coming in and we had to fulfill those? You know, what factor of real world experience is being applied to the actual worker's experience beyond just their resume? Are you sending me someone who says they can drive a forklift or someone who has actually operated a forklift? When they said forklift, did they mean sit down, stand up? Are they talking about getting in an order selector? Yeah. How high did they go up? And did they actually do it? Right. Yeah. Those are all things that are a problem right now, where it's, you know, taken on the record of the resume. There's this assumption that temps are temps, that it's the experience, like the necessary evil you mentioned.
Yeah.
That's another problem. And then worker sourcing. Where what are you sourcing your workers for? Are you just sourcing a generalistic supply? Or are you trying to specifically target workers who are interested in working in the light industrial space? Workers that have already worked in the light industrial space. People, you know, and that's great. If someone's trying to get into it, that's also amazing. Just knowing that that is the direction that they want to go in, because then they are more successful in those roles. Those are kind of my list of 8 or 9 problems that we're working to fix right now.
Yeah. And I think those problems are, you know, totally legitimate in the staffing space. I mean, it's certainly, as you're going through the list, I'm thinking of all different experiences that I've had as a warehouse operations manager in my past, experiencing all those things. And I think one of the biggest pain points that stands out for me for what you just said is the issue around, you know, somebody, you tell the agency, I need somebody that drives a reach truck, and they say, oh, well, we got somebody. Yeah, they'll be there tomorrow. They show up, you know, they're on time. Everything seems like it's starting out okay. And then you go and say like, okay, so we're going to have you on the reach truck. And they're like, oh, no, I don't drive that machine. Right. And you're like, oh my God, you know, like this is not helping, right? It was like something critical that we need. So I mean, all those issues, I mean, certainly are there, and I've experienced them myself. And I think it's certainly a pain point and frustration. I mean, I think especially as we look at the landscape now, and you know, there's shortages in labor, and you know, there's spikes in demand. Especially if you look at like e-commerce, for example, there's a lot more volatility in what that looks like, and the capacity that you need to have is fluctuating pretty frequently based on, you know, different factors there with the consumer behavior. But you know, it's important to be able to one, get people in the door, like you said, right? But also to be able to get the right people in the door for what you need to accomplish. So Traba has a very big focus on vetting, as you mentioned a couple times there. And why don't you talk to us a little bit about how, I guess, Traba approaches that vetting process and how that kind of has a bigger impact on the operation that's looking for staffing overall in a positive way?
Yeah, that's a great question. One note I'll also add about the reach truck operators or any other machine operators is the other interesting part, which I'll going into how we vet, is you'll have people come in with a OSHA certification, right? But they really just got that online.
Yeah.
And have, you know, very limited or zero experience on that machine. And so how do you, you know, when you put that on a resume, you're like, oh, solid. Mm. But unless you have that data that they've successfully operated that machine, you know, it's essentially worthless.
Yeah.
So kind of where we go into that vetting, we have multiple levels of vetting. First and foremost, just to enter our labor supply, you have to go through a background check that is, you know, federal, county, global watch list, sex offender check, all of those things just to enter our labor supply. So we have that first level of it. Then the workers submit their resumes and then free form experience. That then from there is they're periodically, and once they get on new shifts, they're interviewed by operators or vetted by operators in terms of getting their experience logged better in our system, understanding what is true, what is not true, all of those items. And the people that are talking to them are people who have helped in filling shifts across the country. They've provided support for all these different workers and businesses, and they've been inside facilities, right? They're not just going off of a script. They're going off of conversations with all of these businesses, similar to like how I was telling you about how I spent all of Saturday in one of our fulfillment center clients in Atlanta, you know, actually seeing what's getting done, seeing that some of these workers run into issues when they're using different carts and that are relying on Wi-Fi and they go into dead spots, right? It's just random little things like that. Then from there, after they go through that and they start working with someone, we have all of their attributes logged into our database. And when someone posts a job or a shift with particular roles within each shift, they have those attributes tied to it. When our algorithms are matching the workers and presenting these suggestions for the jobs, they are then cross-referencing another step on if they're verified, meaning they've worked on these jobs. They haven't been DNR'd. They've worked X number of times doing this particular thing, using an RF scanner, picking items, doing inventory control, all items like that. And then the business provides feedback on top of that, which then double verifies that experience. And then when they're going into these roles where it's new, say it's a unique facility, they're getting contacted or mass messaged by our team explaining the importance of what they're going into. If they're going into a GMP facility that's going to have a cold room, they're going to be hit with several points of communication where it's mentioning it's going to be cold. It's GMP. You need to make sure you're not wearing earrings, no headphones, no fake eyelashes. You're wearing long sleeves and pants, non-slip shoes, things like that. You're going into a fulfillment environment. It's important to be off your phones. Do not bring it on the floor. That is not allowed. This is a performance-based role where the goal is output. Yeah. So if you're not able to match or meet these output numbers, then you more than likely will not be successful in the role. So it's all those factors of the vetting. And then on top of that, the over-communicating, which leads to shift preparation for those, so that set up the workers best for these roles. Because a lot of the times these workers aren't clearly communicated with on the expectations and what the environment's going to be like, which all flow into having a good end result for the worker and the business.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so, so important. And, you know, it seems like maybe it's a lot of work up front to have that like robust, proper vetting process, but it pays off in the long run. Like we talked about, you know, getting the right people in there to do the job and that have the skills that you're looking for. I think it's great that you guys are putting such a focus on that. And like you said, you know, going to the facilities, understanding, you know, how do things work there, what's important to them, not just going off that script, like you mentioned, and, you know, being able to fully understand from the operator's perspective, like what do they need, right? And then also, I think it's really important too, that you're prepping that worker to understand, like, what type of environment are they going into, and setting that expectation, right? Because I mean, I've certainly had instances too, where, you know, you have somebody come in and maybe it's not properly explained to them the job they're going to be doing. And, you know, after 2 hours or something, they're like, this isn't what I wanted to do. Like, I'm out of here. Right. And they just walk off the job. Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like, oh yeah. You go talk to the lead and they're like, oh yeah, they went to the bathroom 2 hours ago and they never came back. It's like, okay, well, you check the camera and they just walked out the door, right, without saying anything. So I mean, it's super important to be able to have that on both sides, I think, in order to have success with staffing like that. So I mean, it's great that you guys have built out kind of this robust vetting process there. And I'm curious too, you kind of mentioned a little earlier in the conversation there about maybe somebody that's looking to get into like the warehousing type of work. I mean how do you guys look at someone like that maybe has not worked in light industrial before, in warehouse before? What type of like skills or experiences do you look for where you think that might be translated easily into like a warehouse environment?
Yeah, that's a great question and something that we're constantly working to iterate on. But the key fundamentals of that is someone who shows a consistency in their past and a drive for wanting to commit to something, timeliness, those are all factors. And then on top of that, we have a variety of partners in all of our markets where they are more generalized general labor roles, be that helping build stages for large music events. Think of that, or working single day production lines where what they really need is just people to operate these lines. And then from there, we're able to funnel them into the worker supply further and further to go into roles where there does take a little bit more consistency and quick learning when it comes to operating in a high volume fulfillment center. So those are the high level ones. A lot of them are qualitative right now, but we have built out tools actually through some AI vetting bots that are looking for a variety of factors and communicating with these workers to then put them top of funnel, you could say.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious about that because I mean, especially as, you know, it gets harder to find workers that want to work in warehouse environments, like you got to get creative in some ways. Right. So I'm curious what you guys think about that and what you look for there. So really interesting to hear about the vetting process. I mean, I think that's one thing that as I've been learning about Traba and as you've been educating me on, Reed, since we've been connected here for about a month or so, I guess now, is that vetting process and how kind of core and essential that is to Traba's success. But, you know, there's also the tech component too, as well, both from, you know, the worker side and what they're able to see, and then from the operator side as well. So tell us a little bit about kind of some of the tech components that are in there and some of those resources and tools that warehouse operators are able to leverage to make the staffing experience, I wouldn't say more enjoyable, but a little easier to work with.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You hear a lot about supply chains these days, because if the past couple years have taught us anything, it's that an efficient, well-managed supply chain is absolutely critical to keeping businesses successful and consumers happy. I'm Will Haywood, and I host a podcast called All Business, No Boundaries, where we talk about supply chains, how they work, what happens when they don't, and the innovations that are redefining what's possible in the world of logistics. Join me for insightful interviews with thought leaders and industry experts. We discuss how optimizing supply chains can break down the barriers that are holding businesses back. That's All Business, No Boundaries by DHL Supply Chain. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, definitely. So we have three focuses. Our engineering team focuses on three different products, one being the business side, one being, and I'm going to go from order of how they line up.
Sure.
The business side, the operators, the internal operators, Trava, and then the worker side. So on the business side, you know, similar to other platforms out there, we have a full business portal and business application you can download on your phone. From there, you have the freedom of being able to create roles, request jobs at a moment's notice. You can request someone, request a job in the next 2 hours. And you have a very high likelihood of having a successful fill, assuming it's, you know, meets all of our criteria in terms of location, all those things. You get transparency in your staffing again. You get to see who's coming. You get to see the picture of the person who's coming. You get to see what they've done with us before, how many times they've worked with your business. From there, you also get to see where they are. Are they going to be on time? Are they running late? You can also adjust, like, see all the timesheets, see the times they've worked with you. You can see people that you've favorited, you've blocked, you can build out rosters so that you have that crew of people that you know you need to come in once or twice a week that you can request, or maybe you need them for a project that's going on for the next 2 weeks. You have that roster built out of the people that know your facility, know how you like things operated, and are going to be as high value add as possible when bringing in temporary workers. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you have ways of, you know, direct communicating with these workers without sharing your contact info with them. You can message them through our app, through the portal, all of those things, so that you're no longer getting messages from the workers about why they got DNR'd or why there isn't more work, but also you have that ability to communicate directly and get that transparency. John, I really enjoyed working with you last Monday. You know, I've requested you to invite you to these roles on Thursday and Friday. Is there a reason you're not coming? Whereas with traditional staffing, you know, they may just pull the person off to send somewhere else and you have no idea why they didn't come back.
Yeah.
And that functionality. And then we have like a very detailed scheduling component within our business portal where you can actually see all the different roles you have going on. Maybe their first, second, third shift split across those. You can click into them, see who's coming for each one, see all the details about those roles and really have like a better idea of your labor plan for that week. From there, you can also give access to different levels of supervisors, managers, accounting, things like that. So you can split the ownership of different tasks to different people. Then we move into what excites me the most. So with our operational tooling, we have a variety of tools built out. One of them being what I actually showed you when we met that one time, which is our ops console. Yep. Think of that as an air traffic control tower's monitor, right? You can see all of the jobs happening all over the country who are then assigned to different members of our different operations team, where their job is tracking ETAs, expectations on what the fill rate looks like. Is there overage on these? Is it going under? Do mass comms need to be sent out via text, robocalls, push notifications, things like that, that all go out to workers that are already pre-vetted and are good fits for these roles? On top of that, we have internal wait lists that we see that we know people who have showed intended interest in working with us. So it's providing all those toolings. And on top of that, we have very streamlined payment functionality that can be overridden and managed by our ops team. Different tools for worker consistency to drive that, meaning if they continue to miss shifts, what's going to happen to their internal ranking and prioritization or shift matching algorithm. On top of that, that's another part, is something that we're iterating on weekly, is the actual algorithm that goes in to suggesting these right matches for the roles. Those are all tied to the attributes that they have, the verified attributes, all of those things. So the things that we're talking about now are like the actual engine that powers everything. And that's, you know, as years go on, you know, cars become faster, more efficient, more powerful. And that's kind of our viewpoint compared to traditional staffing, is they don't want to improve their engine or build it. They just want to keep like adding more oil, changing the filters, and just keeping things as they are. Where for us, we've now taken the engine from the front of the car to the back, turned it into a V8 to a W12 or V12, whichever type of engine they're looking at. And then we have the worker side, right? That's where they're able to see their scheduling, where they're able to get more transparency in their payments. They're able to reach out to support. So it also is ways that there are things that people undervalue in terms of what the workers are seeing. And that's into shift preparedness, shift vetting, the information they input. How prepared are they with the information we're sharing with them for the job they're going to? And these are all things that, again, we actually reach out to the workers, get feedback on, get feedback from them on what they felt unprepared for when they went to the job. And then we iterate on that. Be that with GMP awareness. It's not training, it's awareness. But that is so they take this quiz to go through, so that when they walk into that facility, they understand what the baseline expectations are for the client. So that worker app is something that, if you're a worker listening to this, you've noticed that we update it probably every day. And that's because we're constantly iterating on it. And it is the tool, because that is the most important aspect of what we are delivering for clients, is the workforce, right?
Yeah.
The worker supply. And so that is, those are the three components of the tech we provide.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great too, that you guys are kind of constantly evolving the solution and listening to, you know, the customer on both sides, right? Which is the workers you just mentioned, which is ultimately the product kind of that you're delivering in a sense, right? And then on the operator side too, to be able to make sure that they have the visibility, the awareness that they need to make better decisions and feel, you know, more comfortable, secure in the staffing that they're getting and the experience that they're going to have overall with that work. So I mean, I think it's great that you're bringing that type of visibility into it, and also the intuitiveness too, to be able to easily get staff and know that, you know, like you said in the beginning, right, traditional staffing model, you know, something happens, you know, 6 o'clock at night, and you know, you need somebody, and you're probably not going to get them next day, right, from a typical agency, like if it's off their office hours or whatever. So I mean, it's great to be able to have that flexibility and know that you're also going to have that reliability too, and then be able to utilize that tech to reinforce that and be able to bring those things to light. So very interesting how you guys have built this out. And I think, you know, it's great to see that it continues to evolve too, as well with the technology, as you said, and constantly pushing out updates. But at the core, still keeping that strong vetting process to make sure you're bringing in the right workers at the right time and keeping those magic fill rates up and running there. So if we look at Traba and we look into the future, you guys are in 14 states right now as we're recording this. What does the future of Traba look like?
Yeah, definitely. And before we hop into that, I have to give one shout out as an example of our tech, our engineering team. I was meeting with one of our contract manufacturing clients in Texas, probably this time last year. And she sat me down and said, "We love working with y'all. You know, the service we are provided is amazing. But if you had these two different functionalities on your platform, I would absolutely love you." So in a traditional company where that kind of would have been floated up through 10 different levels, then had to hit a product manager and all these things, and then the change would probably be done in 3 to 6 months. I put her in a room with our CTO, our product manager, and an engineer, and she voiced her exact concerns. And 2 weeks later, I was fortunate to send her a text and say, "Hey, go into the portal and check this out. Click this button here." And she was so blown away that someone actually took her feedback.
Yeah.
You know, just a HR director at a contract manufacturing facility. And for people that can't see this, I'm air quoting because it's a very important role. But that's like how our engineering team works, right? We see an actual problem and we point them in the right direction. They're going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, that's great. Definitely.
And to go back to your original question on like the future of everything. So first and foremost, we're in this great position where we're starting to understand the issues with vetting, shift preparedness, you know, the efficiency within workers, contractors working in a facility, and we're gaining all of this data, right? And then we're building out tools to help our clients work around that data and to be as efficient as possible. So first and foremost, it's understanding, you know, labor management systems, right? Being able to implement our own function of that, and then also potentially license out our internal toolings, like our mass communications, as you mentioned, was interesting.
Yeah.
All the data where we can track, you know, have digital timesheets where, but you're also seeing the status of every worker, you know, how long were they on break, things like that. And then from there, becoming more of a integral component of the greater supply chain. Because all of that, it all starts as the people working in it. And the more data we have on that, the more we're able to build products for like forecast planning, demand planning, actually factoring in the efficiency of the workforce into that and not just having each headcount equals 60 orders per hour. You know, knowing that this is dynamic based on the worker and knowing what workers you're going to have, what RF gun is tied to them, like actually associating all that data together. And then from there, building like a true, you know, AWS of labor type structure to where obviously that's a ways out, but the parts I mentioned at first are the short, medium term of just really being a fundamental component of having a productive and efficient labor supply.
Very interesting, very ambitious future there, definitely. And looking forward to seeing those things kind of come together. I mean, I think that makes so much sense. And like you said, I mean, I did see some of the back end stuff there and everything. And I could definitely see a lot of different applications where the technology can come into play and more could connect to more data inputs and give more data outputs to make those different kind of decisions and touch different points of the operation as well. So really interesting stuff with you here, Reed, and love to learn more about Traba with you in this conversation and just overall how kind of the foundation has been built for the success of this solution and definitely looking forward to seeing the further expansion beyond the 14 states to New Jersey. As a hint, we love to see it in New Jersey over here. But if people if people want to learn more about Traba, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so you can connect with me on LinkedIn, just Reed Egger, and also feel free to shoot me an email, just R-E-A-D, I spell it like you read a book, at traba.work, that's work instead of com, so Reed at traba.work, and those are the best two ways. I'm not very active on Twitter, but I'm working on that one. LinkedIn or my email, best ways to do it.
All right, great. And we'll definitely put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com so people can easily find it. So Reed, thank you once again for your time on the show today.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.